Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 12. Matthew, chapter 12. Sunday nights, we've been going through and teaching and preaching on the teachings of Christ and studying the Gospels. And we started way back in where Jesus was 12 years of age. And then exactly what he is presenting to us as truth. And I trust it's been a help and a blessing to you. We're well into the second year of his public ministry. And this is a year of growing opposition. And we find it here in Matthew chapter 12. We're going to be reading verse 46 down to verse 50. Verse 46 down to verse 50. He presents a truth that all of us need to understand and really be aware of, and that's a new and extended family. And presenting this is very important for us to know exactly just what that means, what that new extended family and how that affects our regular family, our bloodline, our own parents, our children, our siblings. So he addresses that here in Matthew chapter 12. So if you would, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. The Bible says, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And let's pray. Our Father, as we bow before you tonight, what a blessing it is to have the church assembling together on this Sunday, taking full advantage of all day on Sunday, and the church family together to worship you and to receive from the preaching and the teaching of thy word the truths that need to guide us through life. I pray tonight, God, that you'd give each one here that insight. Pray that you'd help them to open up their hearts and their minds to receive what you have for them. Pray that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. So here we find that Mary and his brothers, for whatever reason, they were not a part of his ministry at this particular time. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot about what went on, how this happened, but that is what's going on. Jesus is actually teaching and discipling his apostles and the other disciples, and we find that his mother and his brothers came, and they were outside of where he was teaching, and yet they wanted to meet with them privately. And he addresses that. Now, can I tell you that he was not denying his responsibility to his earthly family? He was not wanting to disrespect his mother. He did not want to disrespect his siblings. But there was a lesson here that his disciples needed to hear, and likewise then and his disciples today. A lesson that we need to hear. He was emphasizing the importance of our spiritual family, our extended family. We know that as born-again believers, I believe that studying the Bible, that we all are to be witnesses, we're to be the light, we're to be the salt, we are to go and tell people about Jesus Christ, and we are to be witnesses as soul winners. And I believe our first mission field is our family, our blood relatives. Matter of fact, I even encourage people to target your family members for salvation. Now, I don't think a church, I don't think that we need to target certain people or certain status of people or whatever it might be. I think we need to reach all people, and we should not make a difference between whether they have money or they don't have money, whether they are white or any other color. I think that God loves the world, all humanity, and we are to reach all humanity with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. But when it comes to our family, because I believe that God has placed us in the homes that we're in, and if you have received Him as your Savior, then your first testimony should be to your family members. Whether you're a husband, your first testimony should be to your wife. Whether you're a wife that got saved, your first testimony should be to your husband. And then your testimony for Christ ought to be towards your children. And then work out outside of your Jerusalem. Amen. That's your Jerusalem. And then work out of that the entire world at the same time. But I think it is very important that we realize He is not disrespecting or denying His responsibility to His mother and to honor her, to His brethren, to be a witness to them. But again, I believe He is presenting to us a new and extended family, which will be a blessing to all that understand it, will be an encouragement and a help to accomplish what God has us here in this world to accomplish. So first of all, let's look at the family opposition here. The family opposition, because that's what's taking place. They came and they stood without, desiring to speak with Him. Then one that was His disciple, that He had been training and teaching and that was there listening, approaches Him, and he said, one said unto Him, "Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with you." They've not come in. They're not a part of this service, if you will. They're not a part of this Bible study. They're not a part of you teaching us. And that's what He was doing. He was presenting truth, but they weren't a part of that. And they come to tell Him that they are without and they want to talk with Him, which would have been an interruption to what He was doing. It would be like somebody come in here in the middle of a message on Sunday morning and say, "Your parents are out here and they want to see you, preacher." I'm not going to step down from the podium and tell everybody here, "Now, okay, wait a minute, I got to go see what my mom wants." Now, she's in glory today, and most of my family are as well, a lot of my family. But the idea there is, even though I love my parents and I respect my parents, I would not stop doing the Lord's work because they wanted to see me outside of the church. Now, I know that would never happen, but the idea here is that's what's happening. He is discipling. He's teaching. He's preaching. And they come to interrupt what He's doing. Now, Mark in chapter 3, you might want to look over there because we find this is also recorded in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 8. And so we can get more insight as we look at the Gospels and see the very same account, and each one presents a little bit more for us to understand. In Mark in chapter 3, the same account, but it sheds a little more light on what was going on. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, "And he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal the sickness and to cast out devils. This is what he was doing. And while he was doing that, we find that there were some scribes and Pharisees had come down to speak against what he was doing. If you look down to verse 22, it says, "And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils." Verse 21, then it says, "And when his friends heard of it," his friends, really not his friends, I believe this could have been his relations, which would have been Mary and his brothers, "they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself." So actually, Mary and his brothers would have listened to wrong information, and they had come up with a conclusion that Jesus was kind of out of his right mind. Something was taking place there that they said that he is beside himself. They believe that. I don't know how Mary could have believed that. I don't know how his brothers could have believed that. But the Bible reveals to us that's what's taken place. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 31, there came his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. His family could have been sitting with him and learning from him, but they chose not to. Those who should have known him to be the Messiah, Mary, she gave birth, virgin birth to him. She should have known. She was blinded to what Jesus was doing, and somehow, because she had been blinded, she thought that Jesus needed to be saved from himself. Now, that's what we have here. And the brothers, likewise, said, I can't believe he's sending people out to cast out devils. I can't believe all the different things and everything that everybody's saying. And they listened to the wrong influences concerning Christianity. Independent Fundamental Baptist. Oh, that's a cult. Do you know that there's other religions out there that say that anybody that just believes in the King James Bible and anybody that does what we do and goes out and wins souls and knocks on doors, that's a cult. And sometimes they think that you're caught up in a cult just because you believe the Bible. And you come to church Sunday morning and Sunday night. Somebody's brainwashed you. You have been brainwashed to think that you need to be in church Sunday night. And if you're in church on Wednesday night, then you really have an issue. You have went over the edge. If your family members aren't saved, and then they hear that you're given 10% of your earnings, and beyond that, and you're raising your children to go to Bible college so that they can dedicate them their lives to serving God? How many of you might have relatives that feel that way? Yeah. So it's not too far from where we're at today to understand what's taking place here. And Jesus is addressing that, knowing that we would have to deal with these types of situations. Seems like the ones who should support us the most can hurt us the most and discourage us and be used of the devil to keep us from accomplishing great and mighty things for the cause of Christ unless you understand what Jesus taught. Beside himself? Mary? Come on. Now, she would eventually get her thinking straight. This was just a lapse. His brothers would get their thinking straight and write part of the New Testament scriptures. But they didn't have it together at this point. They had been blinded, and they were being used of the devil to try to hinder the work of Christ. His family could have been sitting in the midst and learning from the Messiah, but they chose not to because they had been influenced by the wrong voices and the society that they were living in. So as we see this, understand something here. First of all, when it comes to family opposition, Jesus would not teach opposite of the scriptures. He would not teach to deny responsibility to earthly relationships. Because we all have them. Matter of fact, if you look in Colossians, let me just read to you, you know the verses there. The Bible establishes the positions in the home, and it says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Listen to me, that is something that Jesus is never going to lead you to go opposite that. First Timothy chapter 5, you might want to write this down. First Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house," you have responsibilities to provide for your own house as mothers and fathers, provide for your children and all the different things. The Bible says, if any provide not for his own house, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So don't ever think that God has led you to deny your responsibility to your parents, to your children, to your brothers, to your sisters, to your siblings. Again, I find that once you know the truth, then you ought to target your loved ones. That ought to be what your prayers ought to be focused on, getting them saved, bringing them into the light, helping them as much as you can. This idea that we're only going to get together, and if we get together, there's no conversation about religion and no conversation about politics, that did not come from the Bible. I am going to have a conversation. I'm going to present Christ no matter where I go, no matter what I do, especially if I'm around those that are lost. Now, I'm not going to force it, and I'm not going to make it weird, but as God opens a door of opportunity for me, and I have that opportunity to witness, I'm going to witness no matter who they are and where they're at. He would not teach opposite that. However, he would not allow anyone, whomsoever they were, to disrupt God's work. He was preaching and his mom said, "No, come outside. I want to address you. I want to see if you're mad. Let's see if you're in your right mind." Not going to leave the podium. Not going to leave a Sunday school class. Not going to leave church to go address anyone that's going to question what I'm doing. No, because I am in the middle of doing what God has me to do, and it's affecting a lot of people. I've had family members get sick, be taken to the hospital. My brother, Saturday night, gonna die. I would not allow that. Now, if they needed me and it would have made a difference in him living, something different there, but I would not allow that to keep me from preaching on Sunday morning. Because I'm God's servant. Every time I preach the Word of God, I'm affecting many lives. I'm doing the will of God. I've got to realize there's opposition that would want to hinder that. And I've got to make the call, as you would have to make the call. But the one thing that you should never do is allow anyone to disrupt your service to God. Because Satan often uses family members who are ignorant of the truth to oppose us. Matter of fact, if you go over Matthew chapter 10, right before this, Jesus addressed that. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And the man's foes shall be they of his own household. He was preparing the disciples for this. He is preparing all Christianity for this. If you're not careful, your own family will be more of a discouragement from you serving God than anyone else. And if they knew the truth, they should be supporting it more than anyone else. But they're blinded. They're ignorant to the truths of God's word. Even if they weren't at one time, if they're trying to get you out of serving God, if they're trying to get you away from doing the Lord's work and his will, then they are in opposition to the word and the will of God. And I love them, and you can love them, and you should love them, and you should want them to get saved, and you should want them to see the truth, but you cannot allow them to hinder the work of God. And because of that, there's going to be some division. Mark in chapter 6, let me just read this to you. Mark in chapter 6 and verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, and in his own house. Yeah. We have the example of Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph was hearing from God. He was so excited, but he just wanted to present to his brothers what was going to take place and the blessings of the prophecy that God had given to him. If it had been a stranger, they might have listened. But because it was Joseph and he was their father's favorite, they had anger toward him. And as they were angry toward him, they didn't listen. They sold him into slavery. Only to come about to find out that what he was saying was the truth. Yeah. But at the time, they didn't want to listen. But he continued to tell him what God was telling him. David, King David. His brothers had no respect for him whatsoever. Laughed at thinking he could be anointed the next king of Israel. Laughed when he come up to the battle until he went out and cut the head of Goliath off. I think that would have earned a little respect. Yeah. But his family, his brothers, his own brothers tried to discourage him from eventually doing what God had called him to do. Jesus' mother and his brothers were dear to him, but they did not understand. And he would not have their ignorance to hinder his work. His work was much more important. You see, they needed to see him first as the Messiah, because that's who he was. And then as their brother, as their son. Luke in chapter 2, that's what he tried to get across to Mary back in the beginning. In the book of Luke in chapter 2, verse 48 and verse 49. They left and he didn't go with them. They come back to find him. And this is what the Bible says in verse 48. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold thy father, and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Before they need you as a parent, they need you as a Christian to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Before they need you as a brother, if they're not saved, they need you as a Christian to help them come to the place where they can be saved and have everlasting life. You might be their brother, but if you fail to pass on the faith that they need, they're going to die and go to a devil's hell. They need to see you, first of all, as a born-again believer before they see you as a brother or a sister or an aunt or an uncle. It's what Jesus is getting across here. They needed to see him for who he was first and foremost, and that was the Messiah. And what you are, what you represent more than anything else is Christ. If you're saved, you have more to offer the world as a born-again believer than any other thing that you can, any other position that you might have. As the pastor of this church, I've got some family members in this church. They call me pastor. My brothers call me pastor. My sister calls me pastor. My wife, in the midst of the church, she calls me pastor, preacher. You hear her, she's trying to get my attention. She does not say, Daniel, Daniel. No, she'll pick up the baby if she's trying to get Daniel. But she'll say, preacher, pastor. Why? Because she realizes that the church needs to see me as a pastor before they need to see me as a man, as a friend. Because that's how I'm serving God, in the position that God has given to me. Now, that's not disrespecting my family, and that's not disrespecting even my wife. But it's what they need. Sometimes I wish, I don't want that responsibility. I don't want to have to go out and represent the pastor of the church. I don't want to have to spend my whole time thinking about ministering. Sometimes I think, I don't want that. But that's who I am. And I embrace that. There's been certain times I've gotten too close to certain people and where my humanity comes out and it's a hindrance to them because they've seen my humanity and it lowers their appreciation and even their honor, their respect as a pastor. I can't do that. Because what this church needs out of me more than anything else is a pastor. Whether they're my family or whether they're not, whether they're members of the church. You need a pastor. You need a pastor's wife. You need staff. Every one of these staff, you need to see them as staff. Every one of the staff needs to take on the responsibility as a full-time staff member representing Christ and representing their pastor, the position of their pastor. A new, extended spiritual family. He addressed his mother and father, his mother and his brothers. And he says, who are they? When he's addressing now his disciples, he's saying, who are they? I'm here for you. Who is my mother? Who is my brother? He didn't say that to his mother and his brother. He said that to the disciples that he was training that saw him as the Messiah. We have our family members and our blood relatives, and I never want to take away from that. And God would never lead you to take away from that. But make sure that you understand what they need most from you. They don't need to see you sway over to their side. They don't need to see you reject the importance of the Bible, to reject the importance of your church, to reject the importance of whatever God has led you to do and be. They need to see you very much in support of that and realizing that is what's more important. They need to see you as a dedicated, born-again believer. If you're wishy-washy, when they leave, they say, yeah, I knew there wasn't anything to that. They'll come around eventually. They'll change. They won't continue that lifestyle. They won't continue to live that way. Prove them wrong. Be the representation of Christ that they need to see in you. And while you're doing that, enjoy your extended family. That's what he's teaching. Go back with me, Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to close here real soon here, so stay with me. Now he's looking to them. It's not time for me to quit yet, so. Verse 50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same. Now, some might have their entire family saved and serving God together. And what a blessing it is when you get together at family gatherings and you're all saved, and you don't have to worry about somebody bringing in beer, and you don't have to worry about smoking, you don't have to worry about cussing, you don't have to worry about all the different things that you got to worry about in the world. And you're saved, and now you can enjoy
the family, the blood family, the relationship there as with an extended Christian family. Now you have both in one. And ultimately, that should be the goal. And ultimately, that is the blessing of being able to have family together in church and family together, even if you're not in the same church, family together believing the same thing, serving God, and wanting to live the same way. You can encourage one another. Your get-togethers can be a tremendous blessing. But that's not always the case. You might be the outcast of an unsaved family. When you go around, you might hear the ridicule. So you're going to have to find your support where Jesus said you can find your support. That's in your extended spiritual family. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother. I can find blessings in a relationship with another Christian brother. It's not replacing the other, but it's something that I look forward to. It's something that I can enjoy, and sister and mother. It's not necessarily connected to a blood relationship or earthly families. It's connected to our relationship with Christ. Because we're all connected through our relationship with Christ. And we have been adopted into the very same family of God, which is a household of faith. Galatians in chapter 6, let me just read this to you know it as well, but Galatians in chapter 6, this is what he says about that. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household, the family, based on our faith, connected to our beliefs in Christ, connected to what we understand to be the most important things, connected to our eternal lives, our household, a faith. Most of you know I'm the youngest of seven boys. I have six sisters. There's 13 of us all together, and there's only a few of us left, June. A lot of our brothers and sisters, mom and dad, they're all in glory. They're enjoying their time together. Amen, up in heaven. I'm looking forward to that one day, joining them and shouting for joy and having the best relationship we've ever had before. But can I tell you that many of our church family, I have a closer walk, a closer fellowship with my church family than I did my own flesh and blood. Not that I did not want to be, but this is my household of faith. I see you more than I see anybody else. I'm able to worship God with you more so than anybody else. Able to rejoice together and cry together and pray together. Look around you. It's your household of faith. You might not have the kind of connection that you want to have with your blood family, but listen to me, don't give up Christ to have that relationship. No, what they need in you is your relationship with Christ to share that with them. And if you don't get the fellowship that you need from them, you can be strengthened every time you come together with a household of faith. Because you're going to rejoice together, sing praises together. Help raise our children together. Marry our children. I think we've already had some prearranged marriages here, starting with kindergarten. You know, it's my own daughter prearranged with one of my deacons for 20 years or so. Now it really wasn't, but when they spend that much time together, and it seems to happen.
over the last 36 years, we be family. We be family because of Christ. It's an extended spiritual family that we ought to be able to enjoy. Second Corinthians, we're going to close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. That's what Jesus was teaching there. That's exactly what. He presented his physical family, his earthly family, when they were outside of the circle for whatever reason. He addressed them as he addressed his extended spiritual family. We find here in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6, verse 17, it says, "Wherefore come out from among them the world and be a separate, saith the Lord." Every believer needs to do this. "And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons. And every one who becomes his son becomes our siblings and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." You see what that does? We get saved, we come out, and we want to focus on the will of God and serving God, living as God would have us to live. We have Him as our Heavenly Father. And we're all looking to the same Father. And we're all looking to the same Savior. And we're all looking to the same Comforter that dwells within us. And we can have more in common than any other relationships. God's given us that so that we might be faithful to accomplish His will and represent Christ to a lost and dying world. Jesus taught on the extended spiritual family. If I could have every head bowed tonight. Taught on it because we need to know it. We need to enjoy it. We need to embrace it. Have you received Christ as your Savior? That's what brings you into the spiritual family. If you've not been saved, can I encourage you? Turn to Him. Trust Jesus. And then dedicate your life to represent Him. There's so many blessings associated with it. Father, we bow before You tonight. We love You. Thank You, Lord God, for loving us. And thank You for the teachings that we have recorded in this Bible that we can study and learn from. And I pray, God, that we would understand this passage as You would have us to. And Lord, understand that we have a ministry, our first missions ministries to our family. As we understand that, we might not be able to have the close fellowship that we would like to have because we're going different directions. But help us as we go through that and being a witness to our families, we have our spiritual, extended spiritual family to be strengthened by. Help us to be strong. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.